Rabbi Wiener, but just to note that, first of all, I want to say welcome to Wiener, who is a terrific community rabbi and chaplain and scholar. And I'm just going to paste out that he is a renowned expert in Jewish bioethics. And speaking personally, what really pushed me to ask if you might join us and teach us today is the fact that he is both, not only is he a scholar and on sort of theoretical level, and a Talmid Chacham, but also a chaplain and a, as I mentioned, a community rabbi with, you know, lived experience in the matters that, about which he learns and teaches and writes about. And I should also note that he, like several other of the presenters in the course of this week, is himself a kidney donor. So we wanted to learn specifically from him, and we're so pleased that you're with us today to talk about halachic perspectives on living organ donation, and also tissue donation. Tomorrow, we'll hear from the leadership of the Renewal organization, Renewal, which is another organization which looks to facilitate organ donation. Rabbi Jason, thank you so much for being with us. I'll hand it over to you.
Great, thank you. Thank you. So it's great to be with all of you. Thank you for the introduction and for putting together this important program. It's so relevant and important to have these conversations. And the truth is, it's timely. I was in Israel a few weeks ago on a rabbinic mission, and I met with a number of people, but including Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon. And when I met with Rav Rimon, I asked him, you know, just in my interest in medical ethics, I asked him, what are some of the medical types of questions that have been coming up in the situation? And he said, let me think. Well, I did have a question from a reservist who was being called up to serve, but he was in the process of donating a kidney. But he was very early in the process. They actually hadn't actually identified the recipient. He was still in the testing process. He was just being told that he was, you know, moving through the process. And he asked, should I stop the process and go to service? And Rev. Ramon said to him, yeah, I mean, you don't actually have a recipient yet. I do think you should do your national service and go up to the front lines. He said, then the next day, I got another call from someone who said, I've been called up to reserve duty, but I actually am scheduled to donate a kidney next Tuesday, next week. The surgery is already scheduled. The recipient is waiting. Should I cancel the surgery and go to serve? And in that case, Rav Rimon said to him, you know, in this case, you have a surgery scheduled and someone's life is depending on you. Don't go serve. Donate your kidney. That's your mitzvah right now. And he said to me, those are the biggest kind of like medical questions I've been asked right now. And I just thought, wow, those are the questions you're being asked. How beautiful. Like the questions you're being asked are about people who want to donate a kidney and are trying to figure out what type of service they should be providing to their country and society. And it's all hinging on, you know, whether they donate their kidney now or later or go to serve their country. I just thought like that's so special. And I was very moved by that. And the truth is, it's become very popular. There are a lot of people who are discussing donating kidneys and tissues and blood, as we'll discuss. And it's fascinating that the Jewish tradition has a lot to say. When you would think to yourself, like, what could the Torah really have to provide on this question when it's only been possible for, you know, a number of decades, but certainly not centuries, and not in the time when we have classical sources to guide us. So in what ways does our tradition guide us? And I'll tell you for myself personally, when, you know, as someone who works in a hospital, and I frequently praise those who donate organs and encourage and try to support them. And here in my hospital where I work, whenever I hear about someone who came to donate a kidney or any other vital organ, whether that's, a portion of a liver or a lung, you know, it's primarily kidneys, but there are some other things that people can donate that, or tissue, or as we'll discuss, or blood. I always try to make sure to visit the donors in the hospital just to kind of praise them and support them. And so when a friend of mine needed a kidney and was doing a drive to see if there were matches, I thought, you know, it's only right, and they invited me to come and be there at the event. I thought it's only right for me to go and show my support. And then I felt like, well, I'm here. I might as well swab, even though deep down I might have been a little bit nervous and kind of feeling like, well, I don't know if I would actually do this, but I'll at least swab because I always praise it, so I can't be a hypocrite. And then when I got a call 2.5 years later, you know, that fellow got a kidney, not for me, but then I was in, found out that I was in a database. And when I got a call a couple of years later and my heart sank, and I started to think like, okay, this is not theoretical anymore. Am I going to put my kidney where my mouth is? For me personally, my thoughts went to the Torah. I mean, am I obligated? What does the Torah say? You know, what kind of guidance does the Torah provide? That was immediately where my mind went. And so I want to spend a little bit of time with you this morning, or maybe afternoon, where you are, discussing, you know, what are those sources? What are the key sources that guide us? Even though it's such a modern question, what ancient classical Jewish sources, both halachic and more values-based sources, can guide this discussion? How will that be relevant both for kidneys and other tissue, for living donors we're talking about here? Now, I know you'll have conversations about posthumous donation and other areas that arise in the organ donation space, but right now talking about living altruistic donors, what are the sources that guide us and how do they guide us? And what has been the trajectory of the rabbinic responses? Because there has been some evolution on the topic. And I know that when I speak to groups on this topic, I often ask people to raise their hands. And I'll simply say, does Judaism support organ donation? And the majority of the time, the vast majority of the people raise their hands to say, nope, Judaism does not support organ donation. This is the conception, or should I say misconception? I don't want to give away anything yet or sound biased, but this is the perception that many Jews have. And why is that? And we'll go into that a little bit, I think, as well when we see the sources. And how has that changed? And how is it constantly changing and evolving? And why? And so the main issue that we really need to start discussing, and I'll show you these sources, and you can learn it along with me. The main issue that we need to start discussing is the issue of risk, because to give a kidney, I mean, that was my main concern when I found out that I am an eligible donor for someone, and I had a match. My concern was, you know, is this a smart risk to take? You know, should I really cut my body open and give a vital organ to somebody else? I mean, I know Judaism believes in pekuach nefesh, saving a life, but what about the risk? So on the one hand, there is a source that's a very important source that, to be honest, my mind went to first. And it's a very crucial source. And it's actually extremely relevant today of all dates of the year. And I'm not going to say why, but I'll just say that right now. If you want to come, I'll just leave it out there to be provocative, and maybe we can discuss it in the sources. But of all days of the year on the English calendar, today's the day when it's most relevant. That's all I'm saying. Okay, the Gemara, it's a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. Bava Metzia 62a, a really important, crucial story with all Jewish ethics in general, Jewish medical ethics in particular, and kidney donation and tissue donation. The story is as follows. Shnaim shayim mahalchim mederech. There's two people walking on the road, presumably in some kind of barren desert. It's very hot. They're in the middle of nowhere. They're hot and thirsty. Ubiyad echad mehem kiton shamayim. And one of them has a jug of water. But the other one does not have that water. And they're very thirsty. But they do not have enough for both of them. Im shosim shnaim, if they will both drink, Mason. They'll both die because it's not enough to get them back to civilization. But if just one of them will drink of the two, that person will magil yishuv. That person will survive and make it back to society. So the one person's holding the jug, if they keep it all to themselves, selfishly, they will live. But if they share it, they'll both die anyways. So what's the halacha? What are they required to do? Dorish ben Petura, so someone named Ben Petura said, Mutav shiyishtu shneim v'yamusu. It's better that they both drink it and they both die. Ve'al yira echad mehem b'misasu shachaveru. But you cannot let one of them cause the death of the other. And even though they'll both die, they should both share it. and then die, because that's the more altruistic, that's the proper thing to do, even if it means they both die. Ad Shabbat, Rabbi Akiva Valime. But then Rabbi Akiva came along, and obviously we're going to follow Rabbi Akiva over this anonymous Ben Petura. Rabbi Akiva came along, and he taught, V'chai achecha imach, your life of your brother or sister with you, chayecha kodmim l'chaye chavercha. That verse teaches that your life comes before another life, and when you're the one holding the water, it's your water, it's justifiable and proper for you to keep the water for yourself and not let yourself die, even though the other person will die. That's not selfish. You have to save your life first. If you can save your life, then yes, save other lives. We believe in saving life. But you have to first save your own life, kind of like on the airplane when they tell you, you know, take the oxygen for yourself first, and then you can help those next to you. That's the halacha that we follow. And that seems to imply that, you know, some amount of selfishness, so to speak, is justified, because you have to first save your life. You have to protect yourself before you can help others. And that's what Rabbi Akiva taught. That's the halacha. And the first thing that went through my head when I was faced with this dilemma was, you know, it's very nice that this person who I do not know needs a kidney, and it would be lovely. I hope someone could save her life, but like, you know, I have a family. Am I required to risk myself for her? And I thought, maybe not. Maybe I have to risk, you know, focus on myself. Now, there is another Gemara. That was a Gemara in the Bavli. There is a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has an interesting story, very interesting story, which says as follows. Rav Isi Itzdid Besaf Sufa. There was a rabbi named Isi, and he was a hostage. He was being held hostage in a city called Safsufa. They took this rabbi hostage. Horrible. It's, you know, some things, you know, unfortunately never change. That when you have these horrible dilemmas of people being held hostage. So what do you do? Do you negotiate? Do you send someone in to try to save them? It's not so easy. It's not so easy, as we know, to try to risk yourself to save a hostage. So I'm Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan, who is written here as Rabbi Yonasan, but also in other girsas also Rabbi Yochanan. He said, you know what? You might as well prepare the burial shrouds. He's being held hostage by an enemy, you know, military. He's not coming home. We can't save him. You prepare his burial shrouds. But Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, who was known, by the way, as someone who, before he became a rabbi, was, you know, a fighter, and he was someone who was, you know, strong and daring and physically capable. He said, "No, ad de ana katil vana mitkatil ana azil umiyasve le bechayla. I'm going to kill or be killed. I will go bechayla with strength. I'm going to go into those tunnels. I'm going to go into that enemy territory, and I'm going to save him. I'm going to go bring the hostage home." The other rabbis thought he lost his mind. They already said, "No, just prepare the burial shrouds. You can't do that." But he did it. Azil upaison. He went, and somehow Paisan, by the way, seems to imply that he was mephayis, that he actually calmed them down. He convinced them. It sounds like he didn't even use strength. He was able to somehow negotiate with them, but it's not clear. Either way, he went in. He went to the enemy territory via Hivune Le, and he brought him home. He brought Ravisi home. He risked himself and brought him home. And so the rabbis debate, which of these sources do we follow? We now have two stories in the Gemara. One said, Rabbi Akiva said, don't risk yourself for others. Your life comes first. But Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said, no, risk, if it comes to saving someone else's life, risk your life. He did it. So who do we follow? So usually the rabbis say, you know, obviously we follow Rabbi Akiva. We do follow Rabbi Akiva. And that's kind of the majority opinion, that in halacha, your life comes first. But there is, clearly we see a value in being concerned not just for your own life, in risking for others. And so there's a fascinating source that brings us all to a head and brings it all together to show that, you know what do we really do? What if you really could risk yourself to save someone else? And this comes up, you know, 1,500 years later in the Radvaz. The Radvaz was the chief rabbi, basically, David ibn Zibri, of Egypt in the 15th century, a really, really important posek, who was asked questions from around the world. And someone asked him a tragic question. But when you start asking, you know, how could Judaism have anything to say about these modern organ donation questions when you couldn't donate organs until the, you know, 1960s? So how could we have any material on it? It didn't happen. But look at this question. There's a fascinating question. In fact, let's read it inside, just the first line, just to see. The Radvaz is asked this question 500 years ago. He is asked, Sha'al Tumeni, I was asked, Odiecha da'ati al-mashri isa kasuv, and this is the truth, this is a question that was asked to rabbis before already the Radvaz, and he was reporting what he had heard, so this is the question that came up a number of times. Mashri isa kasuv, im amar shalton le-Yisrael. What if the ruler of a government says to a Jew, Hanach li likatseis ever echad she'in chames, come here, allow me to cut one limb from you that you won't die, or emis Yisrael chavercha, or I will kill another Jew from your community. One way that I heard this dilemma posed was, imagine they captured a Jew. Imagine hostage negotiations, right? They capture a Jew, and they say, okay, we're going to give him back. We are willing to give him back. Either we'll kill him, or we'll give him back, but only if another Jew comes forward and allows us to chop off his arm or her arm. If you can let us chop off your arm, then we'll give your hostage back. Otherwise, we kill the hostage. Is someone willing to come forward and let us chop off their arm in order to save this hostage's life? That's the question posed to the Radvaz 500 years ago. And as you can imagine, chopping off the arm at that time was probably not the safest, procedure. It wasn't like they came to a hospital and checked in for anesthesia first and then kind of left with it all bandaged up. But this was the dilemma. And you can imagine how this could be relevant for the whole organ donation conversation, right? Because there is some kind of aspect to this where it's, are you willing to give your limb to save a life of another person? So this is a fascinating precedent that you now have for the modern question. I love asking audiences, would you do this? Because on the one hand, you have people that will say, well, yeah, I mean, you have two arms. It's not the worst thing in the world. It would be horrible, but to save a life, yeah. Others say, well, is the person being held captive, is it my family member? Is it someone who I know? Is there a chance that I will die as a result? I mean, what are the risk factors? So here's what the Radvaz said. And the truth is, the Radvaz answer becomes the approach for all the questions that we're going to then, I'll start summing up, and we'll start going through one by one. And in fact, this answer right now, I'll tell you that when I was faced with this question of donating a kidney, even though I'm familiar with the topic, I mean, I wrote a book where I have a chapter on the topic, I was familiar with it. But it was just all different once it was personal, once it was me and I had to make this decision for myself. So I called Rav Usher Weiss in Israel. He's the postdoc of Shaar Tzedek Medical Center, a very important rabbinic thinker and someone who I know very well. And I just asked him, what do I do? He says to me, what do you mean? You know what the halacha is. It's a big mitzvah. So I said, no, it's me. Like, I have to ask about myself. Anyways, he said to me, he goes, it's the Radvaz. The answer is the Radvaz. So I knew what he was referring to. It's this. Here's the answer. What did the Radvaz say? The Radvaz said as follows. He goes back and forth a little bit. Are you supposed to give your arm to save a life? And then he says an interesting thing. Let's read his answer because it's so fundamental. He says, "Dichsiv derachecha darchei noam." The Torah, Mishlei says, the Torah's ways are ways of pleasantness and peace. Well, what does that mean? Should I therefore donate or not? So he says, "V'tzarich shemishpatei Torateinu." This is a brilliant line. The it must be that the laws of the Torah are you maskimim elaseicha v'asvara. The Torah must be logical and make sense. V'eich yal adatinu sheniach adam l'sam et einav lachtoch et yado or raglo kedei shelo yamitu et chavero. How could it be that the Torah could expect a person to blind themselves or lose a limb in order to save someone else's life? It can't be. So he says it's actually technically not required. No, you do not have to risk your life to save someone else. Wait a second. This seems to imply not donating a kidney. Okay, don't worry. We're not done yet. But at first glance, he says, you know what? I don't think you should have to have your arm chopped off. So he says, Hilkach, eini roe tam ledinze elamidas chasidus. Rather, it would be a pious act. V'ashrei chelko mishi yachol lamod bazeh. And if someone could do it, praiseworthy is their portion, meaning it's a big schus, it's a big merit. They will have great either praise in this world and great place in Olam Haba, in the world to come. They're not required, but it would be a great act of piety to do so. And he goes on, v'im yesh safek sakanas nefashos, this is the important line here. If they might die as a result, if it's danger to their life, harei ze chasid shote, that would be a pious fool. That would be a foolish act. The Torah does not want you to do something so risky, so dangerous to save someone else's life. Do not do that. Because your doubt is more important than the certainty of the other person. That's what I think. So, to the Radvaz, it's not required, it's just pious. But if it's extremely dangerous, it's less required and maybe even prohibited. But what you can infer from that, and what the poskim wrote as a result was, and also you can infer that if it's less dangerous, it's more required. In other words, you can imagine like a sort of a chart. Maybe I'll try to use my hands to show, but you can imagine like a chart. I put this chart actually in my book, where you can imagine the more benefit that you give to something and the less risk that it is to you, the more required it becomes. Whereas the more risky it is to you, the less required it is. To the point where if there's a likelihood of death, it's not required, maybe even prohibited. That's when you come back to Rabbi Akiva. Chayecha kodmin l'chayecha vercha. To actually risk your life, put your life in severe danger for someone else, the Torah does not want you to do. But to have some level of risk, but to have a major impact, is considered a very pious act. Ashrei chelko mi sheyachol lamod bazeh, the Radvaz said, and praiseworthy is one who's able to do that. So that Radvaz becomes really a crucial way of balancing those first two sources that we saw in terms of how much risk should I put myself into. If it's risk of almost certain death, should not. But as the risk decreases, the encouragement or even maybe the obligation increases. And so let's start looking at the historical context and the historical evolution that occurred when it came to kidney donation. The Tzitz Eliezer was asked this question. Tzitz Eliezer was the rabbi of Shaar Tzedek Medical Center in Yerushalayim and a very important posek. And he was asked about kidney donation, live organ donation, in 1965. He was one of the first to be asked about it. And his whole response is an analysis of that Radvaz. Of that response of the Radvaz. But the thing is, kidney donation in 1965 was very new and not so successful yet, right? It was very dangerous to the donor and not totally effective in the recipient yet. So he analyzes this Radvaz, and then he concludes, and just look at the underlined piece there. This is Tzitz Eliezer Chelek Tes Simen Mem Hey. He concludes, V'al Kein, in general, I do not encourage kidney donation, and I don't even think doctors should perform such a risky procedure on patients and putting them at such risk. Unless a number of expert doctors conclude that in this case, there is no risk, maybe then. And then he says, v'kulehai v'ulai. And even then, maybe, I'm not certain. He was not so supportive of kidney donation. He didn't forbid it, but he was concerned about it. Let's put it that way. And that makes sense. That was 1965. It wasn't so safe yet. And this is part of my theory about why people assume that organ donation in the Jewish community, many people assume that it's not allowed or not encouraged, is because there was a time when it was new and the rabbis came out against it. And something, you know, that sort of sticks because people aren't researching every rabbinic opinion about every topic. And sometimes they kind of hear from someone, oh, it's the rabbis are discouraging it, the rabbis don't like it. And they don't realize that that was only because of specific medical conditions at that time. And as things improve and as the situation changes, as the metzius, as we say, you know, changes, so too the way rabbis apply the halacha can also change. And so something that was a somewhat, you know, I guess you could call it experimental, new, risky procedure, and therefore discouraged by rabbis, can over time become something that's a routine safe and very effective procedure, and that obviously changes the way rabbis feel about it. This happened with lots of areas of halacha. I mean, I could show you as another example, just as a side point, within just one posek, the Tshuvos von Hagos, the Rav Sternbach, in his response of it's fascinating. You follow his response on IVF. On IVF, his first response on that in the 80s, the IVF, the first baby born through IVF was 1978. In the early 80s, he wrote a responsa that is completely forbidden. A few years later, he wrote a responsa that it's most rabbis say it's forbidden. A few years later, he wrote a responsa where he said, some allow it, some don't allow it. A few years after that, he wrote a responsa that says, I'm not saying it's allowed, but many say it's allowed. Then a few years later, he wrote a response where he said, not only is it allowed, it's required. The same person talking about the same medical procedure went from saying it's totally forbidden to saying it's required. But the reality was he was concerned at first because they weren't sure that it was going to be safe and effective. Once he was convinced that it's safe, it's effective, it's saving lives, it's helping people have babies, it's helping families, then he felt, okay, this is a good thing. He was slow to be convinced. But this is what often happens in rabbinic literature, and that's the reality. Maybe it's not a good thing, but maybe there's value to being careful and safe before we make decisions. The sad thing is to those people in the earlier generations who maybe could have benefited from something before he was ready to say yes, but then again, there could be people who would have been harmed. You never know. But that was in 1965. Look at already, this is now a different posek, but look at Rav Avadya Yosef, the Sephardi community, 1981. So still quite a while back, but after kidney donation has become much, much more well-established as a safe and effective medical procedure, Rav Avadya Yosef writes in Yechave Das, Chelik Gimel Pei Dalad, he summarizes the issues, also summarizing, focusing on that Ravaz, and he says, the truth is, it's worthwhile to just read his whole little piece. He says, "Ulam be'emes shenimsar lanu mipi rofim mumchim ve'yiri shemaim." I've heard from great doctors, yiri shemaim, shedargas asikum bohtzalsa kliyal le'adam atoreim, that nowadays the risk of donating a kidney, he mu'etas meod, it's very minimal risk. Uketishim ve'teisha achuzim me'atoreim chozim le'biusam atikina, and 98% become totally healthy again. 98%. Today it's much higher than 99%. That's not even that great, 99%. It's much, much safer than that. Therefore, all those rabbis who said you cannot put yourself into danger, that's only when it comes to something that's like 50-50 danger. Which is not true when it comes to donating a kidney. It's now not just allowed, it's a mitzvah to donate a kidney to save someone's life. And he says, "Ulechein nirisha ikrila halacha shemutter vegan mitzvah litrom kliya achat mikleosav." It's therefore not, it's the halacha is that it is a mitzvah, it's allowed and it's a mitzvah to donate a kidney. That was in 1981. Now let's go to 2016. Rav Asher Weiss, who I asked this question to, and this actually broadens the conversation. He also analyzes that Radvaz and his tshuva. He's very encouraging, so encouraging that look what he writes. Kasher medubar betrumat moach etzem. Now, he goes on a tangent. I'm sorry, let me introduce this first real quick. He goes on a tangent and talks about bone marrow donations. Now, kidney donations is incredibly beneficial procedure. Bone marrow donation is life-saving, right, as well. And crucially life-saving to many, many people. You can have situations where someone is in need of a bone marrow transplant, and it can be very, very difficult to find a donor. And imagine they finally find someone, and they're the donor. And they're, you know, sometimes it's one in hundreds of thousands, one in a million. And they find that person, the person finds out that they are a donor. Should they be required to donate their bone marrow, which is a much less risky procedure than kidney donation? And also, it's regenerating. So eventually it'll be like they never donated. It's not like, you know, a kidney where you have to live the rest of your life with one kidney, which is fine, but you don't get another, your kidney doesn't grow back. But with bone marrow donation, your bone marrow regenerates. So even though it's unpleasant and there's might be some risks and some pain involved, but it's basically a very simple procedure, but the life-saving aspect of it is very high. So if we go back to my calculus before about, you know, the lower the risk, but the higher the benefit, the more it becomes obligated. So it should be clear that when it comes to bone marrow, it's very obligated. So look what he writes. V'chasher medubar b'trumat meach etzem. Shas sakana litoreim him kimat efasit. When it comes to donating bone marrow, it's infinitesimal, almost non-existent risk to the donor. Afim neniach sheyesh b'truma zu sakana rachoka. Even if you're going to say there might be some kind of far-fetched risk, danger, chiv gamur hu. It's a complete obligation. So meaning, if someone says, you know, I found out that I'm a match for someone to donate bone marrow, do I have to donate? His response would be, yes, you are obligated. You have to. You must. Okay, are we going to tie someone down and force them? I don't know. But just as a side point, you know that when someone is donating bone marrow, they first they have to irradiate the bone marrow from the recipient. That person, they have to completely get rid of all of their bone marrow so that they now can get the new bone marrow and create a new immune system. When they have no bone marrow, they have no immune system whatsoever. The slightest thing will kill them. And there have been cases of people who had a donor, so they went to the procedure, and they first irradiated their bone marrow, so they now have no bone marrow. Their donor sits down to donate and has cold feet and suddenly says, I don't want to do it. So then the question is not just are they obligated, but should you literally force them physically? Because now they are potentially killing the person who they put at significant risk. But now we're talking not just about that type of extreme case, but just in general. You find out you're a match. He says you have to donate. You have to. It's by Jewish law, you're obligated. I'm not saying we're going to tie you down, but it's required. Benogeya letrumat kliyab. And so then he goes on. When it comes to donating a kidney, look at what he says. Lulei de mistafina michaverai. If it wasn't that I was afraid of my friends, the other rabbis, hayalibi notish hayom chiyuv gamaru. I would say that also donating a kidney is also nowadays that it's so safe, also completely obligated. Decho hamechkarim mochichim shasakana litorim katana meod kimat znicha. All the studies are showing that the risk to the donor is minimal, is almost non-existent. So I would say that that's also obligated. And it's a huge benefit. Even though I'm not going to say it's obligated, okay, I'm not going to say it's required, but it's a very pious act, and it's important to encourage it and praise it because it's so important. It's such a good thing. So Rav Asher Weiss goes so far as to say it's very encouraged, maybe obligatory, but you see here also that you can now apply this directly to tissue donation, other types of donation. So whether it's bone marrow donation, blood donation, those are certainly a huge mitzvah. And in fact, I'll just say, you know, there is a debate, and I'm not going into this now, and I think you'll have some discussions about this, about posthumous organ donation and the issue of brain death. We're not going there now, but there are some rabbis who don't accept brain death as the legal definition of death by Jewish law. Many, many do. Some don't. Many don't. Many do. And even according to those who don't accept brain death and therefore don't allow posthumous organ donation, you know, we'll have to talk about that. I've heard some of those rabbis say, I think those who are responsible say, you know, if there's some organs or tissues that we can't donate, we should be at the forefront then of donating what we are allowed to donate. And therefore, those who don't accept brain death, and therefore, you know, oftentimes those, even those, they are willing in their communities to accept hearts and lungs and things like that, those donations, even if they're not willing to give them, they should be at least going above and beyond, therefore, to donate blood, bone marrow, things that there's no halachic controversy about whatsoever. Many, many rabbis do accept brain death and therefore allow posthumous organ donation as well, but that's just a different topic than today's. But it's just important to point out, because I've heard some rabbis say that even though they're not willing to donate heart and lungs, they should therefore go above and beyond when it comes to donating blood and tissue. And for example, you know, you see some arguing, going so far as you see how much some of the rabbis praise kidney donation is that it's quoted in the name of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. This is from Shvi Ve'esh, one of his students. He says, Shemati b'shem ha'gon Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, now Zatzal, de'lechein baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu es ha'adam b'shtei klayos. The reason why a person was created with two kidneys. Why did God need to give us two kidneys? B'kdei sheyuchal litrom echad mehem. So that they will be allowed to give one of them. That's what he argues is the reason why God gave us two kidneys. By the way, so you just see like how strong the support is for kidney donation in the Jewish community today. They even have like these sages arguing that we have two kidneys just so that we can give one away. It's that encouraged. As a quick side point, I'll just mention, you know, because one of the questions I remember when I asked Rav Asher Weiss, so should I donate my kidney? He said to me, it's a gewaltig aschus, it's a great merit, a great mitzvah. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You have to decide on your own, but I support it. I think it's a great thing. I encourage it. And I have many students who have done it and they're all doing fine, great health. And they feel good about what they did because they saved a life and it's an amazing thing. So I asked him, I thought it was a weird question, but I just said, is there any other halakha that I should be aware of? Like my right kidney or my left kidney? Does it matter? So in truth, the way it works is that you get a very thorough workup and because they want to make sure that you are completely healthy to donate. And they're not going to take someone to donate if they're not totally healthy and fit to donate. So in part of that workup, they check your kidneys. And oftentimes a person's kidneys work differently, meaning one is a little bit more productive than the other. And the way it works is that they say, you know, you keep the more productive kidney and let the recipient take the less, because it'll still be enough for them, still better than what they have. And that's how you decide. Or they like to give the left kidney, I'm sorry, because that's sometimes more risky. When you're driving, it's, you know, you want to protect your remaining kidney. But I asked it because there's an interesting Gemara. I'll just mention this as a side point as I start to conclude, and I want to hear your questions and comments and feedback. The Gemara says an interesting thing. You know, kidneys are referred to throughout the Gemara as being the seat of wisdom. Partially, I think it's symbolic, you know, that the kidneys filter our blood, and wisdom is about filtering ideas, filtering good from bad, and trying to put things into categories. That's what the Marsha says. But the Gemara in Brachos says, this is Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, Tanu Rabbanan, Shtei Klayos Yesh Bo Ba'adam. A person has two kidneys. Achas Yoatzto Letova, the Achas Yoatzto Lera'a. One advises them to do good. In other words, one's their Yetzer HaTov. And the other one is the Yetzer Hara, because we say klayos yoatzos, kidneys, we get our wisdom, our advice, you know, from our kidneys, whatever that meant. So your right kidney is your good advice, your left kidney is your bad advice. So he says, umistabra de tova liyamino vera lismolo. And it must be that the good one is on your right side, because in general we say good is on the right and the bad one is on the left side. So I thought, maybe I should donate my left kidney, you know, get rid of the Yetzer Hara. And I just keep my right kidney, the good one. And I thought that was ridiculous. And he kind of laughed when I said that. And then, and he said, you know what? Go whatever your doctors say. Follow your doctors. You should do what the doctors say. But then I found that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in Chashukei Chemed on that Gemara, he was asked that question. And he says, Nemar, but he quotes that in Sechas Brachos. And he writes, Ulechein binyanenu. Maybe it is better to give your left kidney because you might as well get rid of the one that gives you your Yetzer Hara. I don't think the post can really take that seriously then say to people like, oh, try to get rid of your left kidney because, you know, like, could you imagine giving someone advice? Like they come to speak to the rabbi and they're saying, Rabbi, I'm struggling with my Yetzer Hara. I'm doing bad things all the time and I'm always inclined to do bad things. And the rabbi says, you know, I have advice for you. Go have your left kidney cut out and then you'll no longer have the desire to do bad things anymore. Could you imagine then they come back to the rabbi a month later? Rabbi, I did what you said. I cut out my left kidney and I still have Yetzer Hara. What do I do now? So, yeah, that probably wouldn't be a good rabbinic advice. But I thought it was interesting. So anyways, I went with, to conclude my story, my own personal story, you know, Rav Asher Weiss said to me, you know, talk to your family, you know, make sure this is the right thing for you. Think it through carefully, but it's a huge mitzvah. And I thought about it. I honestly went back and forth a lot. It was not something that I was looking to do or that I like really wanted to do, even though I believe it was a good thing. I just kind of felt like scared. Honestly, I was scared. And I care about my body. You know, I'm into my health. And I just felt like, why would I do this to myself? I just felt really nervous. And but I also knew that there was a woman. She lived in Canada, a woman who was suffering and potentially dying, and that I was a match. In fact, I found out that I was a perfect match and that she had been searching and having, you know, blood drives and kidney swabbings and had not been able to find a match anywhere, and that I was a perfect match. I went through kind of the process to really determine that, and the hospital told me we didn't think. The hospital said this. There wasn't like someone trying to convince me, because the hospital does not try to convince you. They said, we didn't think you were going to be a perfect match because she has such rare antibodies, but you are literally a perfect match. And as time went on, I started to feel like, first of all, I don't know if I could live with myself if I didn't do it. And I started to feel excited about it, actually. I started to feel like, wow, I have an opportunity to really make a difference in someone's life. And I think I want to do this. So I kept going through with the process. And I was terrified. I really was scared. But luckily, I found a lot of people who had done it. And reaching out to them, to talk to them, gave me a lot of chizuk. It really helped me finding past donors. Especially I found people, both rabbis and doctors. I found doctors, even nephrologists, who had donated kidneys. And I thought, wow, they would do it. I guess, you know, I researched a lot. I spoke to doctors in my own hospital, and I really focused on lifestyle improvements. I felt like even though I'm risking myself, there's ways that I can also protect my health. And I went through with it, Baruch Hashem. And actually, 10 months ago, almost exactly 10 months ago, I flew to Toronto and donated my kidney. Thank God she is doing well. I met her for the first time there, and it was an unbelievable experience. I mean, like many people said to me beforehand, you're going to have one regret. The regret will be that you can only do it once. The regret will be that you only have one kidney to donate. And that's honestly how I feel. It was, I think it's the best thing I ever did in my life, to be honest. It felt good. My family, the pride that my family had for me also was very special, to see the way that, what it meant to them. And, obviously we never put pressure on people. It's an individual choice. I can see why some people would choose not to. There could be reasons, idiosyncratic reasons amongst individuals that they wouldn't want to do it. And, I don't blame them or judge them, but you see clearly from these sources that Judaism, even though we do accept the concept of chayecha kodmim, that your life comes first and that you have to watch out, and also your family comes first. If you have, you know, one of the things the rabbis told me was, if you have someone in your family who might one day need a kidney and there's some kind of risk factor, you should not do it. Because if you have someone, if you might need to do it one day, obviously save it for them. We actually had some concerns in our family. We actually had some doctor's appointments to determine, are there risks that we thought there might be? And we were told, nope, these are not risks. We can never know for sure. But you also get put higher on the list in general for your family if you are a kidney donor. Thank God I've had the opportunity now, as a rabbi and a chaplain, to talk to people through this process. And some people, it wasn't right for them and they didn't go through with it. Many did. And they always have found, the people that I've been in touch with, that they are glad they did it and that it was an extremely meaningful experience. Some choose not to tell anyone. I know a lot of people that chose to be totally quiet. I have friends who have done it, and they spoke to me only because, first of all, I work in the hospital and they knew that I would probably see them or find out. And they also needed to talk about certain issues that were coming up. But they told me, I am not even telling some of my close family members. There are some people that, because they want to keep the mitzvah private. They feel like it's more pure and special to just do this for no ulterior motive, not for any praise or public notoriety. And I think that's beautiful. I think that is the highest form of the mitzvah. The rabbis I spoke to, such as Rav Asher Weiss and others, said to me, you need to publicize it. Not just should you, like you must, because for me myself, I will say, if it wasn't for the fact that I knew of other people who had done it, I wouldn't have done it because I thought I was crazy. For a little while, I was like, why am I doing this? But when I talked to other people, they talked me down and they said, they explained it to me. And I felt like, okay, if they did it and I respect them and trust them, maybe I could do it too. And so, and I know, and this is not to brag, but I'm saying I know of many people who have done it now because I did. Meaning they found out about it. They thought, oh, I didn't realize that was a thing people do. And they felt encouraged. And so I personally, the advice I got was that I should share it because it encouraged others and it helped others through the process. But many don't share it. And I totally get that as well. I'd love to hear if there's any questions or comments. If not, I could keep talking. There's plenty to say, but I'd love to hear other...
And if you're an attendee and you want to ask...
Really informational and inspiring. I have a few questions. One question I have is, you know, there's a debate as to whether or not it's appropriate to kind of determine or delineate, you know, preferences as regarding the recipient of one's organ. Is that... You know, to say, well, I prefer that my organ, my kidney, or maybe even stronger than prefer, right? To it may only go towards X or Y demographic. I was wondering what your thoughts are on that question. I guess both, you know, wearing your rabbi doctor hat and also sort of your personal hat, being someone who's undergone this himself.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's an important question. It does come up a lot. I mean, I could tell you that for myself, first of all, it's saving a life, right? We believe in the value of every human life. I mean, it's a great, beautiful thing to save a life. And that's the main thing. I think sometimes when we get into like choosing which life we want to save, I mean, we spoke about the Yetzer Hara before. Maybe that I feel like it's partially the Yetzer Hara. It's sort of like people are scared about donating. So they start saying, because I've had people call me and say like, you know, I found out I'm a match for someone, but I don't know. It's somewhat, and I'll give some, you know, make up some kind of demographic. But they say, I don't know. I'd rather it go to like a child because that seems to be, it's like more a child in my community. That would be more like of a bigger mitzvah. And I when I talk with people and I really talk it out with them, and I'm not trying to like convince them or berate them. I'm just like, tell me more about, you know, what you're feeling. I feel like I find it's often their fears and they're coming up with excuses. Sometimes I'm like, well, you know, you have to give your left kidney now. You get rid of the Yetzer Hara. And I'm joking. But I think it's often the fear where they try to come up with excuses of why I don't want to donate to that person rather than that person. I can tell you that my recipient was a Jewish woman who's not observant at all. And I asked her, Vosher Weiss, I said, is it important to donate like to an Orthodox Jew? He said, it's Hatzalas Nefashos. You're saving a life. We don't ask about, like, oh, is it this? Is it that? I mean, some people might say like, if you save a life, then all the mitzvahs, all the good things that person does afterwards, you get credit for it, let's say. So they start choosing. But in general, anyways, if once you donate, you're also, you know, that person's now off the list. So other people move up the list. It's a ripple effect. If people donate because you were a good role model, you know, it just makes a positive ripple effect. And in general, I tell people, don't start trying to pick and choose which demographic you think is better to donate to. If you're a match, we have the statement in halacha, mitzvah habal yadcha al tach mitzena. You have the mitzvah before you right now. Don't say, well, you know, because my recipient, she was 73 years old. You know, also, I don't know if I mentioned that part. Like, should I start thinking like, well, I'd rather if she was like at least 50. No, we don't start. We say, you know what? 73, first of all, is not even that old anymore. And whatever amount of life I'm able to give her back now, like for her children, her grandchildren, I think that's a beautiful mitzvah. It doesn't always fit into certain demographics, and it still has a ripple effect that helps many, many people. And so we encourage, you know, helping regardless of trying to prioritize. It's risky and dangerous once we prioritize.
Thank you.